We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Guillaume, why didn't you speak out as a former candidate for Secretary of State when the General Assembly was considering the bill that became the voter ID law?
I don't remember the opportunity to do that. I actually spoke about it extensively when I ran in 2006. I remember my opponent then, who's now the Secretary of State, Ralph Mullis, he and I were actually contrasted extensively on that specific issue. I was against it. He was clearly for it.
Do you think it was a mistake for Mullis to devote some focus to that issue?
I do. I think again, it's a solution search in search of a problem. Again, it's been used. Unfortunately, even Rhode Island has been kind of held up as an example why this type of law is not a racist law throughout the country by the fact that it was sponsored by two minorities, one in the House, one in the Senate. I want to increase voter participation. This is another obstacle with some details. Actually, I went to last session, both to the House and Senate, to the hearings there, and hoping that there would at least be a compromise so that it wouldn't phase to the next phase, the full-blown photo ID. Hopefully, this coming session, we'll see a bill introduced for full repeal.
Let's go to Scott.
We know that we need to get our voter participation up, our voter turnout. And what other ideas do you have? We don't have early voting like some states. And I'm wondering, what are your ideas to increase the number of Rhode Islanders who go to the polls and do their civic duty?
Early voting, I think, is a great example. It's actually been proven that it does increase voter participation, hence the reason why it actually has been turned off in a lot of red states. We don't want to see that. Or they don't want to see that, but certainly I'd love to see the absentee ballot. We've made that no excuse, but you look at the detail, the language, it's actually still very intimidating. If you look at the language on the absentee ballot, it makes you think that, gee, you really do need an excuse when you don't by law. But I think we have to be creative and exploring new ways. I think Exeter, if anything, the positive was gleaned from that was on a Saturday, we saw much higher voter participation. I'd like to get people more involved in the process, not just voting, but understanding the issues. I think that's a key critical role of the Secretary of State's office.
The Secretary of State's office in Rhode Island has limited power over voting and elections shared with the State Board of Elections. Do you feel that the Secretary of State's office should have additional responsibility or power? And if so, what specifically?
There's no doubt there needs to be better communication between the Secretary of State's office and the Board of Elections. We saw some unfortunate situation last time where I think the Executive Director, Bob Canada, submitted some legislation on behalf of the board without ever discussing or getting the approval of the board. Secretary of State has no seat at the table at the Board of Elections. Perhaps that's a starting point, but there has to be better dialogue.
During your campaign, you talk a lot about making state government more business friendly. I'm wondering, as Secretary of State, and please be specific, what are a couple of things that you would try to propose to make this actually happen?
I mentioned that there's 74 regulatory entities.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot for a state our size, but it's extremely intimidating, overwhelming for a small business owner, say the mom and pop's shop, who can't afford an army of lawyers to navigate that regulatory issue. I'd love to see technology being used to some of these regulatory, all of them, promulgate rules and regulations. How do you keep up to speed with what they're doing? We can email notices of proposed rule changes. We can also create a map to have a better idea of what the state regulatory map is. The Secretary of State's office can play a huge role in transparency, accessibility.
How about regulation of lobbyists? There's a lot of talk that some folks have too much influence, that the system is not transparent enough. What would you do as far as regulating and giving the public a better view of what lobbyists are doing?
I'd love to see the information that the Secretary of State currently gets with the lobbyists connected with other agencies such as the Board of Elections and campaign finance, and really connecting that web, if you will. There's no doubt that we need to start communicating from agency to agency.
One of the big stories in Rhode Island this year was the legalization of same-sex marriage. A lot of money flowed into the state from out of town to support that effort. Do you think that was a good thing?
I do, actually. And I think just separate from the issue, I think that was a great example of how democracy can work properly with proper advocacy. You can make the General Assembly make some changes.
Did you contribute personally to that effort? And if so, to what degree?
I did, actually. Well, through my foundation, through the Durham Foundation, I supported marriage equality through their 501c3.
What dollar amount?
I don't recall exactly. I think it was substantial amount of money.
Could you ballpark it?
I think it was two separate gifts. I want to say $10,000 each.
And your Democratic opponent, Nelly Gorbea, does not have the personal wealth that you have. If she accused you of trying to use your money to have a disproportional influence in this election, what would you say?
It's a shame. I mean, I think the work that I've done through my foundation, my family has done through with Rhode Island, supporting things like starting the Neurosciences Institute at Rhode Island Hospital with Brown University. I love this state. I care about a lot of the good works that a lot of these nonprofits do. I want to continue supporting it. It has nothing to do with politics.
We're talking here with Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Guillaume de Ramel. Back to Scott McKay.
During the pension overhaul, we had this engaged Rhode Island group of some prominent business leaders, and yet transparency wasn't very good. Let's face it. We don't know who these people are who ran this multi-hundred-thousand-dollar campaign to cut benefits for state employees. And it just seems like the general treasurer at first said, well, she didn't really want to disclose, and then she said she wished they disclosed. How can we change the laws so we know who's trying to influence us at the state house?
I don't know if you have to actually change the law. I think there's no doubt. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we talk about the General Assembly. But aside from that, we do need to look at the other 74 regulatory agencies, the 42 state agencies, and more transparency there. The general office officers all can work together to create more accessibility.
Do you think Engage Rhode Island should disclose their contributors?
I do. I don't think the Secretary of State, unfortunately, has any right. I think that's a federal issue with from a campaign finance standpoint. But absolutely, I'm all about transparency.
Do you support eliminating the master lever in Rhode Island?
I said that I'm publicly against it. I believe that we can look at
publicly against the master lever.
Yes, and I think it's time to get rid of it. I know, for example, where I live in Newport, Rhode Island, we have nonpartisan city councils. School committee causes some confusion. But I think if you look at some states using new technology, some electronic voting machines, where you can actually help the voter not get confused.
Well, 20% of the state voters use the master lever. What do you say to them?
Well, it's a choice. I mean, nobody's it's an option that I think that they clearly want and use. We have to look at it from a holistic standpoint. I think the Secretary of State's office certainly plays a role, but there is legislation in the General Assembly that dictates that it remain on the ballot.
Rhode Island's current Secretary of State, Ralph Malls, says he'll put a question on the ballot in 2014 asking voters whether they want to convene a constitutional convention. Do you support convening such a convention?
I personally do not support a constitutional convention. I think it's an expensive process, and actually we've seen in the past some important amendments to our Constitution, not through a constitutional convention, but actually through the General Assembly, such as separation of powers, how we select our judges, the governor and the general officers going from 2 to 4 years. Those all came through referendums passed or put on the ballot by the General Assembly.
There's been a lot of talk about inequality in this country and in our state, particularly with our high unemployment rate. Do you support raising the minimum wage to, say, 10 or 12 bucks an hour?
The specific number, I do support raising the minimum wage. I find it very hard to believe that somebody can live on $8, which is what it's going to go up to on January 1st, $8 an hour. Somebody's subsidizing it. At the end of the day, we are.
Do you worry that raising the minimum wage might hurt some local small businesses? I'm not talking about the Walmarts or the McDonald's, these big players. A small business, somebody trying to open a restaurant, say, in Newport or on the west side of Providence.
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that concern. I think that again, thinking that somebody can live on $8 an hour and bring up a family here in Rhode Island, it's just not realistic.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Guillaume de Ramel.
Thank you.